I would like to say it's a blessing to be back in the house of the Lord tonight, to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's been a blessing to be able to gather with Huntingdon, and not only Huntingdon, but we've had many from other churches gather together, and it just reminds me of what heaven's going to be like one day. As I've sat here and I've seen different pastors come in and out and think about the different flocks that they're under shepherding, but to think about the great shepherd one day is going to bring us all together to worship Him before the throne, and what a joy that's going to be. Tonight I want us to turn to the 11th chapter of Matthew. 11th chapter of Matthew. And I want to begin reading in the 20th verse of Matthew 11. Do you know, as you're turning, have you ever been tired, heavy laden, and weary? To be tired means to be exhausted, to have a great decrease in physical strength. To be heavy laden means that I'm carrying a heavy load. And many times that can get heavier and heavier as you keep going on. As a young parent of three small children that are 6, 5, and 3 year old, I realize how tiring it can be from time to time of broken sleep at night, getting up to go to work throughout the day, the endless loads of laundry, the endless sink filled with dishes, and on, the wearisome and the task that life is sometimes. And often the words around our house between my wife and I is, "I'm just tired." But in a physical sense, we can find refreshment from time to time when we're able to. I think about Saturday morning. I know when Saturday morning comes along, instead of getting up at 5:15, I can sleep in until about 6:30, maybe 7 in the morning. And that extra hour of sleep is like, Even Sunday, being able to get ready to go to church on Sunday, even though I have to preach, it's still, it's the Lord's day. It's a day to just sit back and rest. And then do we not often live for vacations? When it comes to vacation, it's like, I can't believe we finally made it to this. But in a spiritual sense, how do we find rest? We live in a very restless world tonight. This globe tonight is buzzing with activity. We have supermarkets that are open 24 hours a day. We have fast food places that you can go to around the clock. There is activity after activity after activity. And one man wrote long ago, he said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee." You know, tonight the most important things, as I sit in here tonight and as I've come into the house of the Lord over the last few days, I think about the blessings of being able to come into the house of the Lord. And for those parents that it's an endless, tiresome, wearisome task, some of the greatest memories of my life have been in this church and many of the churches that are scattered around this area. And oh, what a joy it is to sit back and think about, no doubt mom and dad went to church, or they worked and they cared for the home and they took us to church and took us to revival, and no doubt they had to be worn out. And I find myself now as a parent saying the same things that my parents used to say to me. You ever caught yourself doing that? You're like, "Oh no, dad said that. Why did that just come out of my mouth?" But I want you to know that the service of the Lord is worth every effort that you put into it. Amen. So how do we find this rest? Because we are searching for things to satisfy our hearts. The world today is filled with anxiety. And I even think about the bench we have before us, and we call it an altar, a place to come and pray. There's no power or virtue in this, but it's a place to get heart to heart with God. In days gone by, they would call this place up here an anxious bench or a mourner's bench. It was a place where those that were anxious over their souls, that their souls were restless and their souls were troubled. And we all know that when we were lost, we were anxious at times. It took away our ability to eat. It took away our ability to sleep. And that's when we were really finding trouble in our soul, and we were yearning for just a little bit of rest, a little bit of relief. Tonight I want to direct you to the one that can take the spiritually worn, the weary, and the weak, and can revive us and refresh us and strengthen us. Tonight the title of the message will be The Rest, Rest for the Weary. And as we read this passage of Scripture, I want us to look at three things in it. First, I want us to notice the attitude of a seeker. Do you know that in order to get to the place of salvation, you've got to have the right attitude? Jesus is going to tell us what that attitude is. In order to find the Lord and to seek after Him, not only do we have to have the right attitude, but we have to have the right action. And I want us to see the actions of a seeker. And then I want us to, as we get to the end of this passage, I want to see the access of the seeker. Because when we come in the right way, and when we come to the right person, it brings great satisfaction and rest. Let's read what the Word of God has to tell us in the 20th verse. It says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The attitude of a seeker. As we look at this passage, Jesus has just mentioned condemnation on these cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. And if you were to look and study throughout the Scriptures what was going on in those cities, Jesus was going to these cities and He was healing people, and He was taking care of the sick. He was taking care, even on occasion, He was raising the dead. But even in spite of all the privileges of everything they saw, they were still hardened in unbelief. And Jesus was saying, He's saying that these privileged city who have seen God work miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And if we were to think about this church tonight, and if I were to ask those that have been saved by God's grace to raise their hand, I'd be able to say that there's a miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle that a holy God would save a sinful man or woman. That is a miracle of all miracles. And God would save sinners. And I'll tell you, as we sit in here and you've seen men and women's lives change, and you hear the preached word, God says, "Woe unto you if you continue in unbelief." Because throughout the Scriptures, God has said that if you maintain that stubborn and rebellious pride about you and you walk in unbelief, then you will not enter into my rest. Those that came out of Egypt, who were burdened under the great taskmasters of the Egyptians, and they went into the wilderness, God said, because of the hardness of their hearts and because of their unbelief, they were not going to enter into that promised land. And tonight, if you remain hardened in unbelief, you will die in this world in your sins, and you will not enter into that heavenly rest, that heavenly country. And so Jesus is speaking this. He tells them that in those days, what was going on was the Jewish people were, and the chief priests and others, they were trying to bind the law on the people that if they would do this right and this right and this right and this right, then they might be good enough in order to get right with God. And so I want you to think about this, especially if you're young tonight and you're searching and you're seeking after the Lord, that growing up, I often thought that I had to do this right and that right and this right. That I had to go to church. I had to be good, be a good boy at home. I had to be good at school. I needed to make good grades. And if I did all these things, then God just might accept me. Let me help you out tonight. The Bible says there are none good, no, not one.
Amen.
As a child, we go forth from the womb speaking lies. We have Adam's guilt on our account from birth. We must look for rest somewhere outside of ourselves. Because we cannot produce it in our own power, in our own strength. And Jesus, as He begins to teach them the attitude of a seeker, He says, "I thank Thee, O Father." Do you know that this is a moment in the sacred Scriptures where Jesus is in communion with the Father? He is in this joyful relationship with Him. And He's saying, "Oh Father, I thank Thee that You have not revealed this unto the wise and unto the prudent." He was speaking out a sarcasm and a criticism against those men that were trying to make it so hard to get to heaven, so hard to get to God. He was trying to say, "Hey, we're going to tear out all those loops." And He says, "Father, I thank You that You've not revealed this to the wise and to the prudent, those learned and those scholared men who make it so hard to find God that nobody can find them." And Jesus would say that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter in. And the average person was looking out at the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were saying that those people seem like they're so good. And if they can't make it in, then who's going to make it in? And Jesus, as we look in just a minute, He's going to say, "Just come to Me." The attitude of the seeker must be what He said. He said He would reveal this to babes, to little children. Isn't it amazing that God would call us to be like little children in order to come to Him? Because pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit. Or pride comes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. Do you know the attitude of a small child must be that of humility? Lord, I can't. I can't. It must be an attitude not only of humility, but of helplessness. Jesus is saying we need to be like little babes, that I can't help myself. That's one of the hardest places for us to get, is at a point of, Lord, if you don't save me, nobody can. Did you say that before you got saved? I know I did. I said, Lord, if you don't save me, I've done tried enough trying to save myself. But Lord, unless you save me, I won't be saved. The attitude of a seeker is, Lord, all I can do is come to you in humility, in helplessness, but in a hopeful expectation that God is able to do what He says He will do. Jesus, in this moment, as He is telling us here, He says, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He's speaking of God's divine sovereignty and His power. He's going to His Father, and in this moment of time, He says here in this passage that you have revealed these things unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. Jesus is thinking about that plan, that wise plan of salvation. As we have gathered here tonight, let me remind you that God knew that you would be in a lost condition even before the foundation of the world. He knew, and this is what Jesus is thinking about as He's here on this earth and He sees men and women subject to false teaching, that you just walk an aisle, or you say a prayer, or you be a good person long enough that you might make it to heaven. I want you to know tonight that you can know that you're going. Tonight you can know that you're going, and Jesus is rejoicing in His spirit as He thinks about this time in time past as He's here walking on the earth. He's thinking about that day that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit had gathered together, and they knew that man was going to fall. They knew that you would be in a lost condition tonight. And Jesus, as the Father said, who will go and save these sinners? Who will bring satisfaction to God's justice? Because you and I deserve, as Brother Trey preached last night, you and I deserve to die and go to the devil's hell. We deserve that tonight because of our sin. But out of God's great love for us, He said that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And as Jesus was walking the earth at that moment in time, He was thinking, Father, I thank You that You've not revealed this unto the wise and the prudent, but You've revealed these things unto babes, that I've taken care of all of it. All they've got to do is just come to Me in a humble manner. This is where we get that saying, you've got to come to the end of yourself. We say that over and over and over again. You've just got to come to the end of yourself. And you know what? I can't get you there. You can't even get yourself there. But God can get you there. If you'll just humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm coming just like I am. I'm coming as helpless as I can. But I'm coming hopeful that I know that You've made a way that this burden of sin could be removed. And the Lord said that not many of you are wise and not many of you are noble. Do you know that God chooses through the foolishness of preaching to save some of the most unexpected people? Amen. He's able to save anybody, anywhere, at any time, at any place. But you've got to have the attitude of a seeker and that of humility. Because here's what He says in verse 27. All things are delivered unto Me of My Father. Oh, what a glorious thought that is. Do you know what He's telling us? Jesus is telling us that the Father has given authority to the Son. How did Jesus display that? You think about your anxious soul tonight. I want you to think about King Jesus walking on the water. I want you to think about King Jesus, who, as the disciples were on the boat, he got up and he spoke to the wind, and the wind stopped, and the waves, they ceased. I want you to think about the authority that Jesus has tonight as he went to the sick and the lame and the blind, and he opened up their eyes. He healed them. He made them walk again. But I want you to think even further that Jesus, the Son of God, said, "I have power on earth." Do you know what you need tonight if you're lost? You need what Jesus said. "I have power on earth to forgive sins."
Amen.
Oh, the glory did roll. I was happy and free. I'd heard a sweet voice speak pardon to me. Such a wonderful joy I was given within when my Savior in love saved me from all sin. And he goes on and tells us in this verse, "And no man knows the Son but the Father." Oh, he's speaking about this tonight, that you and I can enter into a relationship with God Almighty. He's saying that no man knows the Son but the Father, and no man knows the Father save the Son. And if that was it, we would be able to see that there's been a Father-Son relationship all the way in eternity past, but it doesn't end there. Jesus says, "You can know me." He's saying that in this passage that he is able to reveal the Father to you. Tonight, you can become a son or a daughter of the God Most High, the Lord of heaven and earth. You can flee the wrath to come. Instead of going to hell tonight, you can enjoy an exclusive relationship with God throughout all of eternity. I do not know who in their right mind would want to reject and rebel against such a gracious offer as that. Oh, what a blessing it is to be called a child of God. To know one day I'm going to see my Heavenly Father. To be able to see the one who had the power to, the night I called out to the Lord as a 22-year-old man. I was in my bedroom and nobody was around, but there was a God in heaven, a Lord over heaven and earth that saw straight through the roof of that building. He saw all the way from heaven to Nashville, Tennessee, and he saw a young man that was destitute, a man that was just broken down in need of a Savior. And as I called out to him, he saved me. Can you believe that? I can't hardly believe that sometimes. I can't believe he would save you either. But oh, for the grace of God. Oh, for the grace of God that he would reach down on unworthy sinners like you and me. There was nothing deserving in me whatsoever. I was destitute and depraved and wicked in my heart. But oh, for the grace of God. Oh, for the cross that Jesus realized that I'm going to go to that cross and I'm able to wash away every single sin, every single spot and speck that's on their garments. I'm able to wash it white as snow and bring you into the folds. The actions of a seeker. What must you do tonight? You must come humbly, but you must come. Jesus says, "Come unto me." To come means that I've got to turn towards something. I've got to make a move. I've got to move in a direction. I can't just sit still. I can't just stay on that broad road to destruction. I've got to realize I've got to reroute. I've got to get off this road. I've got to come to the Lord. He says, "Who do I need to come to?" He says, "You need to turn your back on this world and you need to come to me." Oh, what a powerful statement that is. Jesus is on earth. He is walking among men. He's saying, come to me. He is the object of worship. He is the one that is able to save our souls to the uttermost. He is the one that speaks the truth to us. He is the Son of God who wants to introduce us to the Father. He is the Lamb of God who wants to take away your sin. He is the great high priest who is able to intercede on your behalf. He says, come to me. You don't worry about all the details. You just come to me. Just seek me. Oh, what a blessed invitation that is tonight. He just says, seek me. Come to me. I'll take care of it, all the rest of it. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to wait and wait and wait. When the Holy Spirit draws you to Himself, He just says, come to me. Who can come? Who can come? He says all. All. All tonight. All over the world. Whoever hears His voice can come to Him. He says all can come unto Him. And He says, why do you need to come? All ye that labor. That means that you continue to work and work to the point of exhaustion. And you're tired. You're worn out. The people in Jesus' day, as they were trying to carry the heavy load of the law, the Pharisees and others had 613 laws in the Old Testament or so that you had to do this, and you had to do this, and you had to do this. But the problem of that, the law, actually just exposes myself that I'm a worse sinner than I thought I was. When you think about the Ten Commandments, have you ever stolen? No, maybe I haven't stolen. I bet you have stolen something. Stolen somebody's time. You've stolen somebody's candy, somebody's gum, somebody's money. What about stealing God's glory? By living for something else other than for Him. He says, do not commit adultery. But who has lusted after others in their hearts? Who has lied, as we heard last night, liar, liar, pants on fire? Who in here has spoken the truth every single day of their life from their lips, but not just from their lips, but from the motives of their hearts? Because we can say one thing and totally mean a different thing. The law was there to show us our sin. And they were tired. Do you know if you try to be good enough to get to heaven, that'll wear you out. Amen. Because you're going to be thinking about your own heart, your own conscience. You're going to be thinking about your neighbor that's sitting beside you and what they think of you. And really, the only one that matters is God Almighty. And He says that, hey, you're wearing yourself out, but my Son has already finished the work. All you've got to do is come to me. He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We often talk about a burden that we carry. Do you know that burden of guilt and that burden of shame is heavy? It's heavy. To realize that I've broken God's law. Farther and farther I go without God, the more and more I break it. And it gets heavier and heavier. This is the reason it's so important to seek the Lord while you're young. Because it's so hard as men and women grow up and they get older and they get hardened in life. And that load gets heavier and heavier. And I've seen so many people do so many things to try to drown out that heavy burden. But you know what? The anxiety remains. And it won't go anywhere. Because the only one that can satisfy the seeking soul is the Lord Jesus. And he says, come unto me. We've seen the attitude of the seeker, the actions of a seeker. You must come. The access of a seeker. Those who come to him find rest. Rest. Isn't it wonderful as we started tonight, I talked about just sometimes when we know that there's going to be a day off or something down the road, that if I can just get to that point, I know I'll get some rest. But oh, isn't it wonderful to be able to know that we can have spiritual rest tonight in the Lord. To be able to cease or to stop our activities. To have rest and relief. You can find rest at the cross tonight. You can find relief tonight in the cross. You can stop and rest, and instead of trying to control everything, you can find rest in the Lord tonight. Instead of worrying about everything, you can come to the cross tonight because He's taken care of it all. Instead of continuing to carry your fears and your doubts, you can come to the cross tonight and the Lord says, I have finished the work. You can rest in me. Just come. You can know me. And I will show you the Father. You can be a son or daughter of the Lord tonight. You can be birthed into the kingdom of God. To be born again of God's Holy Spirit. You can pass from death unto life. Just like that. If you come. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. He's speaking of the yoke of the false teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were yoked up under a heavy load and a heavy law. And he's saying, take my yoke upon you. Yoke yourself up with me and learn from me. The Lord says, you may not know the path to take. You may be here tonight and nobody else in your family has been saved. You may be here tonight and not know what it looks like to be a godly husband or a godly father or a godly woman or a godly child. But you can come tonight and the Lord will show you Himself. If you will just come unto Him, He is able to show you. He says, learn of me tonight. He's even able to take you as He seeks after that shepherd. He says the 99 are there, but there's that one lost soul that's gone astray. He said, I'll leave the 99 and I'll seek after you and I'll find you. You may not even know where to move or where to go. You may not even know where to seek the Lord or how to seek the Lord. I just encourage you tonight to come to Jesus. Amen. Come to Him. Don't come to the preacher. Don't come to a pew. Go to Jesus tonight. He's able to pardon you and to wash you from all your sins. And He says, here, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Oh, how Jesus is so gentle. Oh, how He's so humble with the souls of man. He sees the precious value of every soul. And He would say, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? But he loses his soul. Oh, the shepherd is calling. He's saying, come unto me, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. He didn't say life was going to be easy. But He said, my yoke is easy because I'll carry you through it. I'll teach you. Even in the midst of the greatest hardships, I'll teach you. And I'll carry you through them. My yoke is easy. And the burden that I give you to carry, oh, it's so light. I want to encourage you tonight to come to Him humbly. I want to encourage you to seek Him to come. Come to Jesus. As we plead before you, come to Jesus. If the Spirit of God is drawing you, it is God's sheer mercy tonight. It's by His goodness that He draws men to repentance. It's only by His goodness that He does that. And oh, if He draws you and convicts you, listen to His still, small voice. He's able to save tonight if you'll come. If you'll seek Him with all your heart, He's able to give you a new heart. He's able to change your life forever. He's able to give you a new eternity. Isn't that wonderful, the Word of God? I pray as we get a song tonight that if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord, that they'll seek Him. Seek Him until you find Him. Till you can tell us that you know Him without a shadow of a doubt as we stand and sing.